You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome. It's football full circle on this Tuesday afternoon. Yours truly, Scott Wetzel, alongside George Kurtz, sitting in for Ben Stevens today as we talk football over the next 60 minutes. Ah, yes, little NFL, maybe a little college football pertaining to the draft, and who knows, maybe even a little UFL before we're through. Well, what's going on, George? How are you on this Tuesday afternoon?
Doing well, Scott. Right? We're on April 9th here, so just a couple weeks till draft day, and everybody's trying to figure out what quarterback is going where.
Yeah, and some word out of Giants camp. Joe Shane, the general manager, talking with Sports Illustrated. I read a quote out of him. Giants with the number 6 overall pick. We could start here. Why not? Saying that we don't want to be up here again, meaning they don't want to be drafting in the top 10. We have multiple needs. We're going into year number 3. People assume we're going quarterback, meaning drafting a quarterback, but we have other needs. If quarterbacks go 1-4, and I don't necessarily think they're going to go 1-4, maybe 1-3, but anyway, then we're going to get the second best position player, not at quarterback, but at 6, which is okay too. That player will really help us. Even last year, our quarterbacks coach was at the CJ Stroud workout. We spent a lot of time with Will Levis and Anthony Richardson, so he's trying to explain away, George, why Giant folks are showing up at these quarterback camps, and it's not necessarily to draft a quarterback in the first round, not necessarily to draft a quarterback at all this year, but just, you know, we got to do our due diligence on that. I don't necessarily buy that, but, you know, in some aspects, yeah, but both Shane and certainly the head coach, Brian Daboll, you know, there might be in a win situation now, and I don't know if they're in a position to draft a quarterback. You know, they need to win this upcoming season, or it's certainly one, and more than likely the head coach, if not both, might be out of a job.
I would agree, right? Last year was pretty close to a disaster for them. I thought they would take a step back last year, but I didn't think they would take, you know, 38 steps back. You know, the offense was putrid. They have all sorts of issues here. They have to make up their mind about Daniel Jones. Is he the guy? Is he not the guy? My guess is at 6, if the quarterback they want, you know, if he's there at 6, they're taking a quarterback. Because as much as they don't want to be there again, well, when you are there, you better take the quarterback that's going to be the quarterback of your team for the next 10, 12, 15 years, whatever it might be, or hope you're taking that guy. So I think the quarterback that they want is there at 6. They'll take a quarterback. If not, they'll take the best wide receiver. You know, assuming Harrison goes 1, then they'll take Neighbors. Yeah, I think that's what their plan is on doing. And I think that makes perfect sense. I think they know they're not getting Caleb Williams, right? Probably not getting Jaden Daniels. But let's just say for Giggles, if McCarthy they have, okay, we love McCarthy. If he's there at 6, I think they'll take him.
Boy, I don't love him. I don't know how you feel about JJ, but I can't buy into a quarterback who didn't throw the football one time in a big game. I mean, these coaches, whether it's Jim Harbaugh or anyone else in Michigan, can tell me he's the greatest thing in the world, but yet you didn't throw the ball one time against Penn State second half. Now, you didn't need to. You didn't lose the game. But would the Miami Dolphins do that if they had Joe Montana or Dan Marino? Would you use that? You know, on the team? No. You know, if you're that great, I don't know how you go into a game saying, all right, we're just going to run the ball and we're going to run it until they stop us, even if they don't stop us. So I don't buy the J.J. McCarthy stuff at all. I'd rather have Penix Jr. I'd rather have Bo Nix, who surprisingly is not getting that much love. It's generally considered McCarthy and Penix Jr., the next two, after the top three. That'll be interesting. You know, the one thing he said that makes sense to me, anyway, is they have a lot of holes. They absolutely do. So if that's the case, then you know what? That's generally the precursor, George, to trading down.
Trade down.
All right, you want number six. You want a quarterback that's there? Okay, you know what? Great. We need wide receivers. We need offensive linemen. We need running backs. We need everything, not just one guy at six. So if they could trade at number six for two first-rounders, boy, I'd be all over that if I'm a Giant.
I don't think they're going to be able to, because I think the reason you brought up Harbaugh at five with the Chargers, I think the reason that Harbaugh is saying, oh, he's throwing flowers, McCarthy's the greatest quarterback in the draft, he's better than Peyton Manning, better than Brett Favre, better than Aaron Rodgers, he's just the greatest ever, Scott, greatest ever. And I think he's doing this because he wants somebody to come up at five and trade for him. That's what he wants. Yeah, I think he's assuming the quarterbacks go top three and McCarthy doesn't go third. I know we are hearing noise now that the Patriots really like him. And keep in mind, everybody's lying right now. Everybody's lying. All right, so it's really tough to figure out what's, what was the old saying about the devil? The best thing he ever did was make people think he didn't exist. And that sort of thing. It's trying to figure out who's lying, who's telling the truth, and how much is the truth, how much is a lie, is really, it's part of the fun of this. But let's just say for giggles, they don't take McCarthy at three, and they take, I don't know, Drake May. You know, Daniels goes two, Williams goes one. Four, Arizona's not taking a quarterback, and if they don't trade out themselves, they're taking Harrison. I think what Harbaugh now wants, okay. Now, of the second-tier guys, the Bo Nixes, the Penix, the McCarthys, where they play? Let's go. Trade up with me. Now, whether it's Minnesota at 11, which I think a lot of people speculate it is because of the other trade they made here, Denver at 12, hell, even the Raiders at 13. Trade up with me. I think that's why Harbaugh's doing all this. I mean, he can't believe that McCarthy's the best quarterback in this draft. I'm sure he loves the kids, got him a championship and all that, but he cannot truly believe he's the best quarterback in this draft.
Yeah, can't be. You know, I think this is a game of cat and mouse with the Giants and Chargers. We got Harbaugh saying, you know what, McCarthy's the greatest thing since sliced bread. You got the Giants saying, nah, we really aren't interested in a quarterback. We're just checking these guys out. I think both teams, well, in the case of the Giants anyway, they don't want someone to trade with the Chargers to move in front of them and get that fourth quarterback. You know, I'd be surprised if the three quarterbacks didn't go 1-2-3, whether it's by the Patriots or by somebody else. So it's that fourth quarterback that maybe is going to stand out among all the others that the Giants won. And they're saying, no, because the Giants tell the world, yeah, we're drafting a quarterback, that, okay, you know what? We got to get ahead of the Giants. You know, if we like it, let's just say it is McCarthy. You know, if we love McCarthy and we now think the Giants are going to draft him, then we got to deal with the Chargers. And the Chargers know that. So they're kind of promoting McCarthy as much as they possibly can. And, you know, now for the Chargers, you need a bunch of players as well, right? I mean, who doesn't really need a bunch of players? But if you could get two first-round draft choices, even for, you know, the number five pick overall and a number, you know, with the Vikings, we'll say 11, and the other one that they picked up, that would be a good deal as well. So you're right, don't you? No, nobody knows, right? Unlike with the NCAA, who are the 68 teams that are going to make it, the 36 at-large bids, and most people can come within one or two. It's pretty obvious who's going to get in, who's not. The draft, though, when people do their mock drafts, outside of the top two, three, you know, four, maybe four teams, after that, it's just a complete crapshoot. Nobody knows anything about what these GMs and head coaches are thinking.
It's very true, right? You think your 64 bracket gets busted quickly, just follow the NFL draft.
Yeah.
Someone will take someone like, what? This guy went where? To who? You know, it makes, as you said, you don't know what they're thinking. You brought up a very good point earlier. Some of these guys, they're getting canned, right? They screwed us up. They're getting canned this year. So that'll lead to some pressure picks as well.
Yeah. So interesting time. We're kind of in a little bit of a lull here. We still, like I said, have 2 weeks to go, draft into Detroit and towards the end of April. So still two more weeks to speculate. Also speculation. Got a couple of key players entering year number five of their contracts. We'll take a look at that next and see who's going to get signed this offseason to a monster deal. Football full circle on a Tuesday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. It is Football Full Circle on a Tuesday afternoon. Scott Wetz along with George Kurtz sitting in for Ben Stevens. Today, as we talk a little NFL, I mentioned a draft last segment. Fifth-year options. Ah, yes, it's a beautiful thing in the NFL. If you're drafted in the first round, you have the ability, I say you meaning the team, have the ability to add a fifth year onto the four-year contract you get as a rookie. Again, only first-round draft choices. But you have to do it after the third year, not after the fourth year. Well, two teams did do that. We'll start with your beloved Dallas Cowboys before we get to our beloved Miami Dolphins. So they did that with CeeDee Lamb. You know, no surprise, great wide receiver. In some cases, you know, outside of Dak, the face of the franchise, right? Especially on offense, now that Zeke isn't around and everything else. So, a lot of talk down in Dallas, George, about how CeeDee might sit out this offseason, wanting a new deal. Because for whatever reason, the NFL decided that, you know, you can renegotiate guys' contracts after the third year, let alone after the fourth year, if you want to. And that little caveat into the whole equation there allows a lot of guys entering their fifth year to hold out and kind of force the issue. So anyway, that's the buzz down in Dallas. CeeDee talked to, and I use that very loosely, TMZ. He's in an airport, and they caught up with him, and they asked him if he was going to be in Dallas this season, and he said at the very end, yeah. You know, they do a little Q&A for a couple seconds. He's interrupted by a player. They're walking towards the airport or to the airplane, and the TMZ says one more time, you're going to be in Dallas this year? He's like, oh, yeah, sure. So that turns into big headlines. CeeDee says he's not holding out. He's going to be in Dallas. It's, you know, it's like, wait a minute, the TMZ, God bless you, because you do get a lot of exclusives, I must say. But if you're going to be in the business, then you're going to have to deal with the scrutiny. And that's not an interview. That's not CeeDee Lamb saying he's not going to hold out. It's just CeeDee Lamb saying he's going to be playing with Dallas. But that doesn't mean that there could be a protracted holdout and a lot of ugliness this offseason. So first voluntary workouts, April 15th. I know the whole world, George, makes a big deal about that, even though they shouldn't. But we'll see if he ends up showing up there.
We will. Listen, the Cowboys are a mess right now. All right. I think CeeDee Lamb's the least of their problems. Right? They know they'll get him signed. Right? He's going to reset the market. Right? Right now, the biggest cap hit as far as wide receivers is Tyreek Hill at $31 million. My guess is he'll surpass that. Right? Assuming he's the first guy to sign. There's a couple other wide receivers out there, too. That's why if I'm Jerry, sign this guy. Because once these other guys sign, the price goes up. Doesn't get cheaper. Right. Sign him. Didn't you learn that mistake with Dak? Okay, so sign him. But he's the least of the Cowboys' worries. The Cowboys right now have lost two offensive linemen, a wide receiver, two linebackers, a running back, two defensive linemen, and a likely cornerback, assuming Stephon Gilmore doesn't come back there. That's nine players. They've made one replacement, Eric Kendricks, right? They only got him because he, for whatever reason, said he was going to sign with San Fran, then ended up going to Dallas. So they got to replace everybody else. So the Cowboys are a mess. To put it nicely, because they're not going to go, I think they have seven draft picks. They're not going to go 7-7 in the draft. They have seven starters here. So where are these other starters coming from? Where are they coming from? So I said, CeeDee Lamb's the least of their issues. They'll get it done. And if I'm Lamb, by the way, yeah, I'm probably putting some pressure on Dallas. If I don't like the way things are going here, maybe I don't show up to the voluntary workouts. And I may not show up to the other ones either. You know, training camp is just, I'm not missing that. That's too much money to get fined. But the others, I think I can survive. So, I think they'll get it done. Not all that worried about it, but it's going to be a whopper of a contract.
Yeah, you know, if you're Lamb, right, Jordan, you said it. You have Justin Jefferson out there and Ja'Marr Chase, and he's in that same category. I think maybe they might be a little bit better than him, but he's right there, and his people are right there, right? So I would think they would be saying, hey, CD, you know what? Just play nice. Let these two other guys sign. Let them set the market, and then we're going to come in as the third wheel, and then we're going to top them. So we don't want to sign. You don't want to be the first one.
They're all playing the waiting game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think any of them want to be the first one. Why would you want to be the first one? You know, because these GMs and these owners are so stupid. Instead of just saying, all right, Justin Jefferson got $31 million. All right, we think you're just as good, so we're going to give you $31 million. And CD, we think you're just as good, so we're going to give you $31 million. That's how it should be, but it never is. Justin Jefferson, if we just want to use him as the first one, signs for $31, and then the Bungles will give Ja'Marr Chase 32 just because, well, we think you're a little bit better. And then the Cowboys will come in and give CeeDee Lamb 33. Why? Well, you know what? Because we just want to make you happy. And if that's what's going to make you, 31's not going to make you happy, but 32, 33 will. Okay. I mean, it's so dumb. It really is. Just these GMs are supposed to be the smartest people in the world, the greatest negotiators in the world. And I wouldn't have them negotiate a car sale. I really wouldn't.
What you said is true. That's pretty much how it's going to work out. All right, they're going to go, yeah, maybe not $1 million, maybe it's 700,000, whatever, but it's going to be a little higher for each guy. All right, but it is the funny part. We know, and it's like the owners don't, in case of Jerry Jones, it's like he doesn't understand it. Well, what? They're going to keep getting, why can't I get, CeeDee Lamb for 29? No. Tyreek Hill's making 31.2. You got to go higher. Doesn't matter if he's better than Tyreek Hill or not. He's one of the best wide receivers that are free right now. Because you have no choice. Certainly Dallas can't, franchise or anything. They can't afford anything against the cap as it is. So they need to spread it out over a long-term deal to lower his cap number a bit here. So it'll get done. As a Cowboy fan, this is not what I'm worried about. I don't even care if he doesn't show up to practice. Training camp, or mini camps, or whatever the hell it is. Don't care. I'll be ready for the regular season. Right now, as a Cowboy fan, I don't think Dallas is doing much this season. I think Philadelphia's going to walk with this division. I think Dallas, you could always count on Cowboys to go to about 5-1, 4-2 in the division. You know, split in Philadelphia, you pretty much destroyed Washington and the Giants. I don't think that happens this year. I think even though I think the Cowboys are better, they're not immensely better than the Giants and Commanders anymore because of everything they've lost and they're not replacing it. And plus, I don't even know if Dak's going to be with this team. You know, I don't know what Jerry's
playing. Well, there's the question. How much does Dallas want to strip this thing down? Because you mentioned some of the players, you know, and position players that have gone, you know, and seemingly not replaced, at least not on the surface anyway. So is Dak going to be here next year? And maybe he'll do the same thing with CeeDee Lamb.
Because Lamb is a star.
Why not?
Right? Let's just say with Dak, I don't think it's the money with Dak. I don't think that's what Jerry, you know, that's the going rate for a quarterback. It's what you got to do, no choice. I wonder if Jerry's finally having the realization that, it's not happening. We're not going to win it with Dak. You know, once again, if you watch that Green Bay
game, he can't say that publicly.
Deer in the headlights. He was a deer in the headlights again. Again! He can't play against good teams. No, outside of the division, he does well against Philadelphia. But outside of the division, he does not play well in good games. He does not play well in the playoffs. You know, and I wonder if Jerry's like, why am I going to pay, I don't know, $250 million to this when I know he can't bring me what I want? Now, I wonder if that's it. The only thing I think, Jerry's up there in age. The Cowboys don't have a quarterback on their roster that is going to get them anywhere unless you truly believe Trey Lance is the answer. You know, it ain't Cooper Rush. He's not the answer there as far as a decent backup. He's not going to lead you to victory as far as a starting quarterback. So is Jerry going to start from scratch? And, you know, you're getting one at 24? What are you going to hope? Bo Nix at 24 is going to be the guy? That he's one of these, Nix, Penix, May, McCarthy? One slides down that far, which I doubt. You know, so I don't know what Jerry's thinking there. And there are some rumors, by the way, that it's actually, it has nothing to do with Dak. It's his outside finances that are slowing this down. I don't buy that really at all. But that's a rumor as well here. But I don't think anyone truly knows. I mean, is this getting senile? Is that what's going on? I mean, these are all options here. He's being sued for that he's a father of some child, too.
Father
and
child.
Part of this.
Right.
I mean, it's a mess. It's a mess in Dallas, what's going on. And by the way, Micah Parsons needs to be re-signed as well.
So here's the thing with CD, you know, in those wide receivers. Those wide receivers should all be going, and I don't doubt they aren't, all should be going to Justin Jefferson and saying, you sign first because you're the most logical one versus the other two. Why, you ask? I'll explain when we come back. But it does make perfect sense. If you want to play that one-upmanship, Justin Jefferson should be the one to sign. All right, we'll explain when we come back. We'll look at a great prop pertaining to the Cowboys that I don't think can lose. Dare I say that?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. Football full circle on this Tuesday, 25 past the hour. Scott Wetzel, George Kurtz, talking a little Dallas Cowboys here for a second. We'll get to our beloved Miami Dolphins as well because they're in a similar spot with Tua Tags. But here's why I was saying, George, that really Justin Jefferson should be the first one to sign. And again, it's all based on whoever signs first is going to set the market. Well, Minnesota, out of the other two, are the only ones that don't have a quarterback who's making $40, $50 million a year. You know, the Dallas Cowboys do with Dak Prescott, at least for this year. And, the Bengals do with Joey B. It's Minnesota, which didn't re-sign Kirk Cousins, that's paying, chump change for Sam Darnold. So he really should be the first one. Let him sign for as much as possible. And then the other two, they're not going to get anything less, like we discussed, right? That somehow or another, Cincinnati's going to have to pony up, and Dallas is going to have to pony up, despite having quarterbacks making $40-plus million literally on their roster. So it should go in the pecking order of Justin Jefferson one, and then the other two figure out who's going to go two and who's going to go number three, if they're all in it together. Because it's tough. That's why Miami could have paid Tyreek Hill the money they paid him, right? Because they were paying Tua Tags nothing. You know, these teams that have quarterbacks that are on their rookie deals are so much an advantage to all the other teams. It's tough putting two or three monster contracts, under your salary cap. And it's, when you have that quarterback taking one of those slots, well, you really got to be careful with the next person you choose.
Absolutely. Look at the reason why all the Houston Texans are going all out, right? Because they can afford to do that.
Right.
Because they have the rookie quarterback, second-year quarterback, so they can afford to do it. But you're 100% correct here. And I love the logic of J.J. going first. I don't know if it matters all that much. Even with Sam Darnold and a possible rookie, yeah, his numbers could be down, but we all know he's great. It wouldn't be his fault. They'd still have to sign him. But sure, you can certainly make that argument. I would just make the argument where, is it – let's just say Minnesota's offering, 32 and you want 34. Is it really worth taking a chance for an injury? That's what I always say. They're tearing up a knee, the Achilles, right. And then you don't get either one for a couple million that you'll never get to spend anyway. All right, over the long term, you're going to get $80 million guaranteed, whatever it's going to be. Is it really worth? That's where my mind would go. Yeah, I'm taking as much money as I can get right now, certainly before training camp starts, where the injuries could possibly happen here. And I'll take my 33. Get it right in the middle. I'll take my 33 and be very happy with, 33 per year AAV and 120 guaranteed and blah, blah, blah. He's getting, 140 in cash, whatever it might be. How that breaks down. But I think all three will get signed, right? Chase, JJ, Land, they'll all get signed with their current teams. It's just a matter of when. These teams drag it out for whatever reason. Like I said, sign them. Let's go. Move on. You know you're going to do it. The teams always do it with the stars. You don't have a choice. Right? You're not going to franchise these guys. Just do it and get it over with and move on.
By the way, did you see the deal? Apparently, anyway, the Texans are willing to give Stephon Diggs, who they traded a number two pick to the Buffalo Bills for, and in addition to other little things, but basically a number two pick. They're apparently he's got 4 years left on his contract. So, and pretty good money, not great, great, great money, compared to some of these wide receivers now, but about $18, $19 million a year, which is pretty good, right? So apparently they're willing to let him walk as a free agent at the end of this upcoming season. And they're going to bump up his contract an extra $3 million or so. So he's going to be making over $21 million. And their thinking apparently is, well, we're going to get him motivated now, Stephon Diggs, because he knows he's going to be a free agent at the end of the season. And if that's the case, he's going to want to do really well and get himself a fat new contract. And, I'm thinking to myself, well, on paper, I guess that makes sense. You know, you want to motivate a player, George, but holy fudge. The guy's making $18 million a year, and that's not going to motivate him on a contract that's, oh, by the way, not guaranteed after, you know, this upcoming season. So it's amazing what lengths these teams have to go to motivate players to play, despite them making $15, $16, $17, $19 million. That's not motivation enough. The lure of being a free agent is what's going to put it over the top for Stephon Diggs. Well, I tell you what, that's I wouldn't do that. I just wouldn't have traded for him then.
My problem is, and I lean more towards you here, you give up a second-round pick for 1 year of Diggs.
Right.
And what you're admitting in this is, yes, he's a malcontent. He's a problem. That's what you're admitting here. Because we want him to have incentive to play hard for us for that 1 year, because he'll be a free agent. So you're admitting he's a malcontent, that he won't play hard without that new contract. But you, once again, you only have him for 1 year. A second-round pick for a declining player, by the way. Right? And I like that he can still be useful, but he's a declining player. You know, there's much argument there. He'll be 31 this season. You know, so weird. But I understand why they did. I wouldn't have done it either, by the way. No way in hell am I giving a second round pick and then giving him a new contract. It's a player, a huge player friendly contract. It doesn't make much sense to me. But I understand why. Because they know there are going to be games where it's going to be a Flowers game. It's going to be a Dell game. You got Mixon. You got Schultz. And he's just not going to be a major part of the game plan. They still might win the game 31-10, but he's going to be upset because he didn't get his targets. Right? That's going to be the issue there. We know winning isn't what he's about. Buffalo Bills always won. Minnesota usually won for the most part, yet he's still complaining. Right? So yeah. I said, I understand why he did it. I never would have done it here, and I never would have paid that price. You know, like I said, second-round pick for 1 year? I said, I get the logic. He'll play hard, and he will, because he's going to want to show it. Oh, yeah, I'm not a malcontent, and I want the four-year contract next year, even though I'll be 32 years old. So I found it strange.
Yeah, and then you could use the logic of, okay, you said it. He's going to want the ball even more because now he knows he's going to be a free agent, and, you know, he wants to put up monster numbers. If he's got a contract that he's set in stone for the next three more seasons after this year, then it's like, okay, it is what it is. And whether I get my pass, you know, I want my passes because those years aren't guaranteed, but, I could see him yelling and screaming just as much, if not more, knowing that, you know, three, four, even five receptions a game for 50, 60 yards is not going to get him a $35 million a year contract, which is probably going to be the going rate after these three guys that we just talked about signed. I mean, that's just not happening for those kind of numbers.
Anyway.
Yeah.
No one's paying.
But he doesn't know that. Right. But he doesn't know that.
That's probably true.
You know, nothing worse than an athlete, a football player in particular, who thinks he's better than what he is. You know, and you find that out a lot with these wide receivers. You know, they're living in the glory days. Maybe he can have a terrific season, but with all those players and then getting Mixon as well in the backfield, I just don't see him getting 7-8 receptions for 100 yards anymore. So, boy, if he's not the one caveat I said to that last week or a week and a half ago when the trade went down, George, was, all right, if they talk to Diggs and Diggs said, yeah, I'm willing to play ball. I want to get out of Buffalo. You know, I need a new scenery, blah, 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 blah. And he was on board knowing that, okay, we got Mixon and we got this guy and we got Dell. We got this, you know, all these other guys. And you're only going to get 3, 4, 5 receptions tops a game. If he was on board with that, then I would have been okay with the trade. But clearly he's not on board with that. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing this.
No, he wants, as you said, he wants his numbers and he wants to get another big deal. I'm sure there were some personality issues with Allen, maybe the organization as well. But you pointed out perfectly. Let's just say they can go 3-0 their first three games. But if he's averaging, what do you say, 456, he's gonna have a stroke. Right, he'll have a stroke. He'll start. He may not go ballistic, but he'll start making waves. Right, he will for the reason actually you mentioned, because he's, oh, this is not good. You know, I'm averaging. I got 12 receptions for 120 yards or 180 yards, whatever you want to put in one touchdown for the three games. That's not gonna get me paid. You know, that's not going to get me paid. So, yeah, I think he will. It's in his nature. He's going to cause problems. Eventually, he's going to cause problems. Like I said, winning doesn't matter. He doesn't get 3-0, 0-3. It's all about numbers for him. Numbers and money. You know, and so interesting. I don't believe in trading for players like this. Even though Houston, I guess they had a plan to try and make him happy. I just don't know if it can. I think it's in his nature. If he's not getting the targets, if he's not getting the numbers here, he's going to have some issues here. And, you know, maybe he's yelling at the quarterback in the huddle. Maybe he's yelling at the quarterback on the sideline. Of course, he'll have temper tantrums here. But I think he's just in for an awakening here. Like I said, there's so many mouths that have to be fed here. Dell, Flowers, Schultz is a good tight end. You didn't bring on Mixon, by the way, to sit there and, you know, order a pizza back there. He's going to run the ball plenty, too. This was a running team last year, not a passing team. How much are they going to change that?
Yeah. Back to Dallas for a second. Love these team specials. I really do. There's one on there, and most of them you have to lay odds. I you know, so if you don't like doing that, then this is not going to intrigue you. But Dallas Cowboys to score one touchdown, at least one touchdown, in every regular season game, minus 195. They did that last year. There was really only one game that they nearly didn't. San Francisco game, they scored 10 points, but all the others, they scored one. And I think all but one other, they scored two. So how is that ticket at minus 195? I know, you know, who wants to lay basically 2-1, but how's that ticket not going to cash?
I would agree. Obviously, they should score at least a touchdown in every game here. I guess you're only, you know, as far as... Listen, the six games against your division, you should score against all of them, right? None of them are going to shut you down here. Baltimore, like, it could be an issue, I guess, right? That could be. Cincinnati, Washington, Detroit, Houston. It's going to be Baltimore, Pittsburgh they play, San Fran. Those are the three games, maybe Cleveland. Four games, and Cleveland and Pittsburgh are on the road. So there's some chances here, but they should. But what if Dak gets hurt? That's always the question. What if he suffers some injuries?
That's the thing. You're definitely betting on Zach, yeah, as you would be, or Dak, with all these bets that we make. It's always predicated on the guy staying healthy. So, interesting. I'll take a look at the Dolphins and some more of those goofy prop bets. I do love those. Football full circle here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. It is Football Full Circle, 40 past the hour. Scott Wetzel and George Kurtz sitting in for Ben Stevens today. Talk a little NFL. A look at some more of those goofy props. But I do want to bring up, just like with Dallas is in the CeeDee Lamb situation, George, Miami's in a similar spot with quarterback Tua Tags entering his fifth year, which is just amazing. And it doesn't seem like five. I thought this was going to be four, but it is his fifth year, final year of his rookie contract. So, again, teams have the ability to negotiate a new deal if they wanted to. And I tell you, I just don't do it with Tua especially, but I don't do it in general. My belief is that if you can't win a championship and really seriously contend, and the Dolphins have not seriously contended, they haven't won a playoff game with Tua. So if you can't win when your quarterback is taking up next to nothing of your salary cap, how in the world are you ever going to win when he's going to be taking one-fifth, literally one-fifth of your salary cap, maybe one-sixth? You know, and I'm sure that, yes, they can spread it all out and all that other stuff, but the bottom line is you got a $250 million salary cap, and a quarterback's going to make about $50 million a year. I mean, I just don't know how you're going to get enough good players if you couldn't get the good players when he was making $5 and $10 million a year. And not to mention, it's Tua, and I'm not a Tua guy. And then the other thing I'll throw at you is, you know, certainly there are still concerns about his health, right? You realistically have him locked in for one more year at a decent price, about $20 million. Fifth year is a pretty decent pay, but it's still not 40-50. So you have him locked in for that, and then you can franchise him next year. So in my mind, I got Tua for two more years. And you know what? It used to be you franchise, oh, but you know, you're going to pay a guy so much more than what he would make. Not the case anymore. As we've talked about with these wide receivers, right? Every team is just going higher and higher and higher. If Dak signs first, then Tua will make more. If Tua signs first, Dak will make more. It's just one after the other. So you might as well franchise him because that's when you're going to end up paying him anyway. So I got 2 years with Tua if I'm a Dolphin person. If I can't win, see you later, starting over.
And that doesn't bother me, by the way. Because, like I said, the Cowboys and Miami does seem to be in the same situation, right? They like their quarterback, but they don't truly believe in him. Or that they can bring him to the promised land, right? I think it's the exact same thing going on. And Miami's, what, about a year or two behind Dallas as far as where their quarterback progression is. Dallas has to sign Dak or lose him. Now Miami can still play, as you said, play out the fifth, do a franchise, and then we'll see what happens. My only thing is this. This is where Dallas screwed up, by the way. What's your quarterback plan after that? Right, Dallas doesn't have one. You know, so Miami, if that's what you're thinking, and it's a risk, because let's just say for giggles here, you draft the quarterback early, right, and you're going to develop him. Well, but then Tua works out, and you're like, oh, I wasted all this time here. What am I going to do? You know, that sort of thing. You know, so it's sort of the, how much devotion do you want to have to the second quarterback? Because you're still hoping Tua does become that guy. You know, what is it, the Tigers change the stripes and all that, who knows? That's why I keep saying with the Cowboys, I wonder if Jerry Jones has finally come to that realization, no, it's not going to be Dak. It's just not. And I'm going to let him play out this year, and then we're moving on. I wonder if he's doing exactly what you just said about Tua in 2 years. You know, once again, play out the fifth, do the franchise, we don't like it, we move on. The problem is a little different for Dallas is Jerry Jones is, 110 years old. He's Skeletor. He can't wait another 3-year rebuild. Yeah, where Miami theoretically, I guess, could, the ownership could wait. He'll be there theoretically longer, right? So there's a lot that goes into this. Because if you don't have a quarterback, you cannot win. You just can't win. And with Tua, with Dak, you can win regular season games. I just don't know if you can win playoff games. What's more important to you, going 12-5, and making the playoffs, losing in round one, round two, or eating it for 3 years? You know, in the Cowboys' case, how much longer was it? You know, and actually, in Miami's case, too. Now, after your franchise quarterback left, it took forever to find another one.
Yeah.
You know, is it going to be that? How many Kirk Cousins are going to be available on the market every year? Or Aaron Rodgers going to be available on the market for you to go out and get on the cheap? You know, it's different nowadays, but it doesn't mean you're going to get the right one or you're going to guess right or they're going to be great in your organization. And Kirk Cousins is not great. Aaron Rodgers is another 90-year-old guy who can't stay healthy. He's a, complete nutcase. So there's a lot going on here as far as the quarterback is concerned, and they're not going to get cheaper. It doesn't matter how good you are. Dak is not better than Patrick Mahomes, but he's a free agent. He's going to get paid more, whether it's by the Cowboys or the Carolina Panthers. He's going to get paid more than Pat Mahomes, just the way it is. And if Tua signs after him with somebody, he's going to get paid more than Dak. It's just the way the game is played, and I think sometimes the owners have a hard time going with that. And I understand that. I get it. It would frustrate me, too. That's just the way it is in free agency.
It's true. Yeah, I tell you, you get running backs, obviously, that are on the free agent market. You get wide receivers, although not too many, but you'll get some. Maybe some that are available, maybe more so. If not via free agency, just via trade, just because they want a whole lot more money and people won't want to pay them. Yeah, obviously, you get linemen all the time, but you don't really get big-time quarterbacks. These teams have been ponying up the money, and Kirk Cousins is probably, unless I'm forgetting somebody, and Rodgers was a trade, so that wasn't a free agent move. I think Kirk Cousins is probably like the biggest free agent quarterback. Well, I guess you could say Tom Brady. All right, let's throw Tom Brady out of the equation. Different circumstance. Probably the biggest one that comes to mind recently, within the last 3, 4, 5 years. You want to go Baker Mayfield. No one was knocking the doors down for Baker Mayfield, right? Even this year after the success he had, teams still weren't knocking the door down for Baker Mayfield. So
it just seems decent quarterbacks are more available now than they ever have been, right? It's been no quarterbacks were ever available. You were screwed if you didn't draft and develop. Now Cousins, mentioned Mayfield, Russell Wilson was available. I mean, he's not great quarterbacks. These are decent quarterbacks. Justin Fields went for a song and a dance. They can be found nowadays where years ago they just couldn't, but now they can. Because I guess it's because of the money once again. Teams don't want to pay it, so I think that's what makes teams feel a little bit okay. Even if I'm not going to pay this guy, I can get somebody I can live with. Derek Carr, 2 years ago.
Right.
I may not agree with it, Scott, but I think that's what they're thinking is that someone
would you give to
maybe it's because all the rules are made that these quarterbacks for them to succeed. Right, every rule is in the quarterback's favor. Can't hit him anymore. Can't hit the receivers. Can't do this. Can't do that. They want 90-point bowl games here, so maybe that's it too.
Would you give Tua $45, $50 million, which is what it's going to probably take, right? I mean, that's now the going rate of the dopey Giants giving Danny Nichols $40 million, you know, up the scale for everybody else, just completely up the scale for everybody else. So let's be realistic. If they sign him, it's going to be in the $45, $50 million range, 5 years, probably three guaranteed, right? I mean, are you doing that for two? I mean, I don't think he's very good. He can't see over the line. He can't. If you watch Dolphin games, he doesn't drop back and pass and throw the ball 25 yards down the field. He has got to maneuver himself where he could see and get pocket lanes. Otherwise, he's lost. And against good teams with good defensive lines, i.e. Kansas City and Buffalo, there's reasons why the Dolphins played so poorly against the Chiefs twice, and they can't beat Buffalo. I wouldn't do it. I'd start all over again. I hate to say it, but I would start all over again. This team, despite all the headlines and all the Tyreek Hills and Tua and then, you know, Boy Wonder Jr. and everything else, bottom line is they haven't won in the postseason. They barely get into the postseason. They haven't won the division. The hype is bigger to them than, the bark is bigger than the bite, we'll say, for the Miami Dolphins.
I think it comes down to the question I asked before. If your ultimate goal is to win the Super Bowl, you're probably not doing it with Tua or Dak. I think they're pretty much the same. Tua and Dak, they've proven it. Maybe Tua's got to prove it a little bit more, but Dak has proven it. He can't do it. All right, so if that's your ultimate goal, then you probably do have to start from scratch, start over. But if you're happy, like I said, going 11-6, being in the hunt for a division title, winning a division title, going to the playoffs, losing in round one of a divisional round, then you stick, right? I mean, how much confidence do you have in developing a quarterback? You know, with the Cowboys, I certainly don't. Think of how lucky they've gotten. Romo was a gift, and so was Dak. They didn't even want Dak. He was their third choice that draft. They kept getting a snipe by teams ahead of them, taking the player they wanted or trading ahead of them. You know, they got lucky with Dak. As much as I rail against Dak, Dak is a winning quarterback. He just can't win big games. He's a deer in the headlights when it's big games. For whatever reason, he's a deer in the headlights. No, can't do it. Actually, prove that over and over again. Sometimes, what's the old saying? When someone shows you who they are, you might want to believe it. Well, Dak is showing you who you are, who he is. You might want to believe it. You know, that being said, I understand it's a tough choice because as a Cowboy fan, at least with Dak, I know we're going to the playoffs. That's good. You always have hope that there's a chance he gets on that magical run. But it just seems like he just can't do it. He just can't. And I don't know if it's going to be happening this year anyway, because it won't even be all his fault with all the defections the Cowboys have had.
If Dak and Tua were on the free agent market and they were both asking for the same amount of money, which they probably would be, who do you think would have more suitors?
Probably Dak. All right, he's put up big numbers off of longer. So I think it would be Dak. If we're saying they both have the same problem as far as winning big games, well, that cancels that out then, right? And then Dak has had the bigger games, been around longer, doesn't have quite you mentioned earlier about Tua, has the injury worry, even though it's a couple of years past now. It still has it, concussions. One big hit could put him out again. So I would say Dak would be first sort. Tua would have a market, certainly. Our teams need quarterbacks. What are the Jets going to do next year if Aaron Rodgers is gone? Patriots, let's just say the Patriots do something silly and don't take a quarterback at three because they want to trade down because they have a million problems, which wouldn't shock me, by the way. So they could be in the market for a quarterback. All right, you go on and on and on down with teams. You have Tennessee, I don't believe in Levis. They don't have the Raiders, Broncos. You keep going here. The Giants need a quarterback. The Commanders will get theirs in the draft. Minnesota right now doesn't have one. Chicago will draft one. Tampa, what do you believe in? Mayfield, the Wolves, do you believe in Carr? Carolina, that's you make that mistake. That's a killer there. I don't think Seattle truly believes in Geno Smith either, by the way. So there'll be a handful of teams, and that's why Dak and Tua, they'll get paid. It may not be by their current teams, but they will get paid.
Yeah. Well, we said it, and most teams have the Green Bay Packer approach. Just be competitive. We win a Super Bowl, great. We want to, absolutely. But are we going to go the extra mile to win the Super Bowl? No. We just want to make the playoffs, sell season tickets, sell hope. And that's what Dak and Tua will get you. They will get you to that level. And you hope lightning strikes and everything falls the right way one particular season and you could win. But otherwise, I keep my job because I'm going, you know, 11-6, 10-7. I'm making the playoffs, winning the division every now and again, getting to the second round. We can get this done. Just stick with it, boys. And everyone's happy except the fans who get screwed every single year. So how about this little prop with back to your Cowboys? Dallas to score a field goal in every game, 12-1. They did it in every game last year, except oddly enough, the one game that they had the most points in against the New York Giants when they put near 50 on the board, 49, 7 touchdowns. 12-1 for a field goal in every game.
I mean, Ardor's not going to have. They have a great kicker in Orby. He can kick him from 60-plus yards here. Ardor's not going to have. If you're going to do it, it's a fun bet. You know, Dallas will, assuming Dak is there, they'll have opportunities because they'll have plenty of drives.
Yeah, I kind of like that bet. I do. You can't hedge it, though. Right? You can't bet no field goal, right? Maybe over-under field goal. Maybe you could, actually. All right, we'll wrap up shop next. Football full circle on a Tuesday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. Football full circle, wrapping up shop here on a Tuesday. Scott Wetzel and George Kurtz sitting in for Ben Stevens. We'll be back tomorrow. You know, I must say, George, we talk about Dallas and all the issues they have and everything else, and they do, clearly, right? But boy, the boys in Vegas, they don't see it, or at least, listen, you can put up any number you want. It's not like there's another side to this, but they are the fourth choice, Dallas, tied with Detroit and Buffalo at 13-1. And I think the Bills are kind of in a similar plot. They're the fourth choice to win it all behind San Fran at 5-1, Kansas City plus 650, Baltimore plus 9-1, and then Dallas, Buffalo, and Detroit at 13-1. I don't see, there's got to be another team, whether it's Cincinnati, whether it's the Browns or the Eagles come to mind, that's got to be better than, the Dallas Cowboys and Buffalo Bills for that matter.
You already said the Cowboys and Buffalo are in the same boat, right? Buffalo's had a mass defection as well, and they have no wide receivers to throw to. There's no way, but I don't think Buffalo wins that division. I'm not so sure the Cowboys make the playoffs as currently constructed. Listen, they have no offensive line. I mean, Dak's going to be running for his life. They don't have a running back. You know, Dallas is not going to be able to solve every problem they have in the draft. They went 0-7 last year, by the way. Every draft they picked they had last year was a bust. Terrible. You know, now this year they're going to do an exact 180. They're going to get 3, 4, 5 starters. Anyone really buying this? No, that's not going to happen. Like I said, I don't know what Jerry's plan is. I have no idea what he's doing. That he sat out France. He let everybody leave. That they're down 2 offensive linemen. I think they will take an offensive lineman in the first round, but I think they're probably going to have to trade down. You know, they get more draft picks, more lottery picks, more chances to get it right. Like the Cowboys right now, in my mind, are a mess.
Yeah. I think we're going to have a ton of trades come draft day. I think teams are going to be going all over the place. You look at that list and it's just like, there's not that many great teams in the NFL. There really are. San Fran, Kansas City, Baltimore, and to me, everybody else. Just, you know, teams that might be good, but boys, but a lot to be determined with the upcoming draft in a couple of weeks. George, great job as always, my friend. I'm sure we'll talk to you maybe later on tonight. As a matter of fact, an in-game live on TV. So be good, folks. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There was probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.